It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me now is a true Renaissance man. He is an author. He is an athlete. He is a scholar. He is an educational advocate. He is an entrepreneur, a baseball awards presenter, Eddie Papowski's number one fan, and also the longest running host with curly hair on the Pulse of New Hampshire. He is a loving father, a doting grandfather, and a loving husband and a fantastic father as well. And as I said, an author. And he is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Mr. Tom Raffio.
Jay, thank you. You know, all the events are starting to appear again. In the last couple of weeks, I've been at more breakfasts and dinners externally at the what used to be known as the Center of New Hampshire, now Radisson, than pre-pandemic. So, but that's good news for our guests. You know why?
Why's that?
Because everybody's going back to the theater and performances. So with that, let's bring on Sal Prizio, who's the executive director for Capital Center of the Arts. And I no longer say new. And Katie Collins, who's the director of development, also at the Capital Center of the Arts. So Katie and Sal, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure. Even though I was a jock and not a theater or artist, you know, growing up, I have such an appreciation for the arts and all the different positions I've had, including being the chair of the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts. Big event coming up Monday night, May 8th, as you know, tonight, if you're listening to this on Facebook. So let's start, though, with Katie, ladies first, so to speak. What drew you originally to the Capital Center for the Arts?
So I've been here. I'm about to celebrate my 18th anniversary at the Capital Center, start my 19th season. I was trained as an actor in college. I've been in theater my whole life, from when my father used to sing me to sleep with show tunes. So I feel like that launched me on my path. And I, like many of us do, fall into nonprofit work after college and nonprofit arts and culture. But being able to find my way to theater was really a gift. Our late executive director, M.T. Menino, recruited me to come work here as director of development in 2005. And as I'd like to say, I get to walk to work through a stage door every day. And what gets better than that? My world is the world of theater, which has been my world since I was, you know, 5 years old. So I'm delighted to be here, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Great. And of course, my experience with the Capital Center of the Arts goes way, way, way back. One of the original sort of boards that helped revitalize it when M.T. Menino was around, and it's terrific. So now the newcomer, Sal. No, you're not too new anymore. Are you still walking to work, or did you locate? So tell us about yourself and why you came to the Capital Center of the Arts.
Well, I'm about a mile and a half away, so depending on the weather, a day like today, I can definitely either walk or ride my bike to work, which is nice. What brought me to the Capital Center of the Arts? I have to say, first of all, I have a passion for the arts and community building. And once I started thinking about becoming an executive director after being in this business for almost 20 years, I wanted to find a community the size of Concord and an organization the size of the Capital Center, a place where I could step in and really start to make a difference, not only for the organization, but for the community as a whole. So I love this town. I've only been here 18 months, but my wife and kids love it here. It's the kind of place that your kids can go ride their bikes around town and just get in enough trouble. And I love the people here have been fantastic. So you put those things together, and the job is amazing. It was an easy sell for me.
You know, remember when we first met, I said, you are going to love it here. Your family's going to love it. So glad that you validated my original prediction. I appreciate it. And glad, and as importantly, that your family loves it as well. So obviously during the pandemic, the Capital Center of the Arts was extraordinarily creative, pivoted, did a number of things, you know, to candidly stay in business. Now, as I mentioned, since we seem to be post-pandemic, and even the WHO has declared the pandemic over, and at least based on my work schedule, Everybody's frequently gathering now. Since the pandemic and post, what changes that occurred because of the creativity needed during the pandemic have stayed with you, and the learnings, and what are you still doing that you did during the pandemic, and what now you're doing differently?
I think, you know, some of the biggest changes we've seen post-pandemic are in things like, you know, pre-pandemic, your paper playbill was still a thing, right? And now those things, a lot of things like that have moved to digital. We've implemented things like you can mobile order now from your seat and go pick it up directly. You know, there were things that were forced into existence like that during the pandemic that have become now conveniences for people. I think those are, you know, we see a lot more last minute ticket buys. That was a result of people trying to figure out where's the next variant going to be at that point. But that behavior is still, there's still a residual effect to that behavior. The other thing we've seen is it's still been tough to get the older audiences back out. And I don't know if that's a result of folks having come so accustomed to getting their entertainment through things like PBS that it's been harder for them to justify going back out. So those are just a few of the things that we've seen post-pandemic. Some of it's been really positive, some of it's been really innovative, and some of it has necessitated us to have to make adjustments accordingly.
Yeah, so one of the books I read in the middle of the pandemic was by Scott Galloway, and he said, you know, some of the trends, you know, how we buy cars and online learning and, you know, ordering from your seat, those things were probably going to happen anyway, and COVID just sort of accelerated that. So it's great that you're leveraging. Let's pause here, though, and Katie, this is your pitch for sponsorships, for memberships, for buying tickets, give out the website, phone numbers, et cetera.
Sure. Well, like I said, when we were sort of backstage, we are at this point where we are finishing one season and about to launch a new season. So this is the perfect time to become a member. You can go to ccanh.com and click the Support Us tab for information on membership or giving to our annual fund. This is the perfect time to join because very soon, people are going to be getting brochures with information on all our newly added shows. Members get the first crack at shows. Members get the best seats in the house. There's not a better time to become a member. And if, like Sal said, you're worried about buying tickets to something and not being able to go, if you're a member, you have the ability to turn those tickets in for credit towards future tickets, which non-members do not. So that's a great sort of ticket insurance, we call it. So you could buy tickets for things far into the future. This is also a perfect time to sign on to be one of our business partners. We have a wide range of levels for every business, from small, you know, neighbors on Main Street to, you know, big corporations who are looking to support the arts. And I'm happy to talk to anybody about that at any time, as you know.
You are, and the phone number is 225-1111, and the website, right, as mentioned, is ccanh.com. So, Sal, you were talking about the older crowd, and of course, I would probably put myself in that, but I'm going to performances, but you mentioned that getting them back has been a little bit of a challenge. Have you seen other consumer tastes evolve, you know, during the pandemic?
Yeah, one of the things we've seen that started to happen during pre-pandemic, but again, the pandemic, I think, accelerated that, now post-pandemic, is people have this huge desire to get back together. And we're now seeing with the newer generations, they want their experiences to be more interactive. So we're starting to look at programming that reflects that. Whether the performance, you see it in comedy, where now comedic performers have a lot more of the, you know, they crudely call it heckling, but it's more of an interactive crowd work type performance. You see it through things like that, or things like, you know, in New York City, they have an event thing called Sleep No More, which is like you literally walk through and you are part of the performance, as it were. So we're looking at, there is programming out there that is more like that, but interactive experiences are one of the things that we're investigating programming a lot more of that. And, you know, things like there's a lot more digital interfaces with things now. A lot of more Broadway shows carry just essentially an LED wall that does a lot more of their sets, as it were, but digitally. You know, video games are really gaining in popularity as far as people paying tickets to go see people play video games live. So those things, a lot of those things accelerated during the pandemic, and I think those are tastes that we have to be aware of post-pandemic.
Great. Sort of a more spontaneous version of Lisa Lampanelli, Katie.
Oh, I don't know if you can get more spontaneous than Lisa Lampanelli.
Too funny.
To that point, though, like we're doing this year, we're doing a murder mystery dinner down at Bank of New Hampshire stage and that sort of stuff, where the audience gets to actively participate in the show and those sorts of things. That's just one example, but we're doing a lot more of that kind of stuff, too, because people really like that. They like being a part of the show.
Absolutely. So let's take another pause on the economics, and then we'll take a break so we can more fully answer it after the break. But I always get these questions. Obviously, CCA is a 501c3, a nonprofit. So tell us about start telling us about the funding beyond the membership and sponsorships and tickets. And after the break, we'll talk about the economics. But do you also get some state and federal funding?
We get foundation funding from the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation and the New Hampshire State Council on the Arts. And then beyond that, the New England Foundation for the Arts, which is federal funding that comes from the National Endowment. Beyond that, we really don't have a place in the state budget. We are able to apply for federal grants and state grants, and we certainly do. But as far as regular sustaining funding, no.
Buy tickets, become a sponsor, become a member. J-Dog.
Yes, it is Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. And the guests this week are Sal Prizio, Executive Director, Capital Center for the Arts, as well as Katie Collins, Director of Development, the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord. And ccanh.com is the website if you want to, of course, become a patron and get tickets as well. We've got all the information there, ccanh.com. When we return, we'll have more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog and Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This week has not one but two guests, as it's Sal Prizio, Executive Director of the Capital Center for the Arts, and Katie Collins, Director of Development at the Capital Center for the Arts. So the website is ccanh.com, having a wonderful discussion about how they got into the Capital Center for the Arts and all the fantastic shows that are going to be playing this summer, as well as this fall of 2023. So Tom, Sal, and Katie, take it away.
Sure. So again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I was on the CCA board. So I did learn a lot of the, the economics, and you were just talking about the funding with, you know, very little, if any, provided by the state and federal government, other than maybe, you know, what, you know, some federal funding, you know, during the pandemic. And so one of the things that I learned when I was on the board was from Mike Wilson, who is at the Charitable Fund now, but was at one point one of your financial gurus. You know, some of the performances with, you know, with the biggest name might make less money than the smaller performance where the, you know, that you're paying the performer less because they're not as well known. You might get fewer people, you know, in the audience, but the economics were better. And I learned that as well when, you know, when I was chair of the New Hampshire Symphony Orchestra, we would put on a Mahler concert with 100 musicians and everybody was high as a kite, you know, and we lost our shirts. And then we put on a chamber concert, you know, with 6 musicians and we made money. So I know the economics are there. So tell us, this is a combination for you, Sal, and Katie. So tell us more things like that, that the audience or our listening audience needs to know what it's like running an organization where you're putting on performances and some of those counterintuitive things, you know, that happen and how you make it all come together.
Yeah, I think it's It's really interesting because it's always the people want to ask you to bring in like the biggest names they know. And, you know, there's that whole thing too. There's a lot of different aspects to it. It is the size market you are versus, you know, we have Boston literally 1 hour away. That's getting all of the first run, A-list, you know, all of those things. So anytime we score one of those artists, it's a, I always tell our programming team, you fighting above your weight class, which is great, you know? And, but you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, it's absolutely correct that, you know, we are intentional every year that we have a few artists that are those big A-list names that we know we need to sell almost every single ticket just to break even on the show, because the guarantee for the artist is so high. But we want to present some of those huge worldwide names, those world-renowned names in our spaces. For us, it's sometimes the things like the tribute shows that are the ones that we know we have a fixed guarantee plus a back end, but we split the back end with them and we wind up making more money on that show plus the beer sales than we would on any other, you know, those big A-list artists that you're talking about. So it's you have to put together a menu of all those different things so that you're serving your community as much as possible, but also trying to balance the checkbook at the end of the year too.
Yeah, no money, no mission. And, you know, in that balance, not to make an analogy to my business, but it's true in our business. We have some of the largest customers around, you know, L.L. Bean, customers like that. And you need those just to sort of create, you know, name awareness. But it's really the smaller employers who really need dental insurance that become our bread and butter. So I know you do need the occasional marquee performer, so your word gets out there. But then, like you said, it's the bread and butter that keeps you alive. And, you know, I'm thinking of two things that I went to. One time, a long time ago, you had Ed Asner. Mm-hmm. And then you also had Dan Brown, the author. And mm-hmm. the two funny stories. So we had a private, because we were the sponsor, we had a private audience with Dan. So I'm bringing two of my Ned Northeast Health Dental colleagues. I bring Dan over. And just when I was introducing Dan, they just, both of them just put food in their mouth. So they're going, hello, and all the food over there. And then Ed Asner loved that I knew all the Mary Tyler Moore, you know, that particular show where he didn't like surprises and everybody was in a closet for the whole show. You got a kick out of that. But those are the types of things people, you know, really appreciate about the Capital Center of the Arts, you know, that you bring in those performers, but you understand also about, you know, your mission and, you know, and no money, no mission. So Katie, Jay had mentioned the 2023 season. I know you're like 3 years ahead, always thinking on your whiteboard and stuff like that. So tell us what's on the near-term horizon, and then you and Sal can tell us what you're thinking is for the next 3 years or so.
Well, shortly, anyone on our mailing list is going to be getting a list of shows for 2023, 2024. Some of them I can't tell you about publicly because they're not public yet. But some are on sale now. Speaking of big names like Don McLean of American Pie fame is on sale now. Help me out, Sal. What else am I thinking of?
Lorena McKennett's on sale right now.
Lorena McKennett, who's very, very popular.
Nurse Blake is on sale right now.
Wild Kratts, which is a PBS children's show, which the kids shows are always the hottest tickets in town. We recently had children's artist Raffi at the theater, and he sells out within hours of going on sale. Yep, it's a nostalgia thing. So so that if you have kids and you see a show you want to come to, get those tickets fast. That's what I recommend to families.
Marshall Tucker Band's on sale right now too. Right. And I think the other thing, and there's too many shows to name, but over at the Bank of New Hampshire stage, we're doing, you know, 3-4 shows a week now in that space. Right. So that's good. And that's one of the things we've changed this year is that Bank of New Hampshire stage is running all summer. So we
should talk about that. But on the Raffi, I hope he's saying, I like to eat apples and bananas.
Right.
As long as he did that, I'm good. So tell us the state, you know, the Bank of New Hampshire stage versus sort of the Capital Center of the Arts, larger theater. Tell us your vision of that, Sal.
So the vision for that space is I would say this, it's more holistic than a versus. It is very much how do we serve as many different people in this community and beyond as possible? And part of that is taste, part of that's accessibility, and some of that is our ability to reach people at different price points as well. So, but you know, that space, it's more of a rock club unless we have all the seats out, and then it's more of a listening room type thing. But it's really, its intent is to get the start with a younger audience and get them involved into the CCA. That's a piece of its mission. The other piece of its mission is making you know, high quality entertainment in intimate spaces for different segments of the audience and accessibility for as many people as possible. Everything from, you know, we've done the Overcomers talent show just recently, and that is a time where we donate the space and time so that we can have at the most at-risk youth in that space showcasing themselves and showing the best of themselves for the community.
Awesome. That kind of leads into my question about breaking down the barriers of the CCA. Is that what you meant by that in terms of your vision?
Yeah, that's just a piece of it, though. I mean, we're now doing a culinary artist in residence program that, you know, we're really proud of. And we're working with people up on the heights that are coming down. You know, the first one we have is Batula Muhammad. We identified, you know, her ability to run a business, and we gave her the opportunity to sell her Somali meat pies, veggie pies, and chicken pies out of the Bank of New Hampshire stage, which has been fantastic. It's a cooperative partnership with her. We're doing that, and then we're also presenting up on the Heights as well. And we're gonna be doing free concerts in the community center there. We have three coming up for the rest of this year, and then we're gonna be doing, obviously, our free show for Market Days as well. So when I talk about breaking down barriers, I mean economic, physical, transportation barriers. We want to make sure we're ADA accessible, mobility issues, you know, people with sensory issues, any type of barrier you see, we need to kind of change the paradigm and make sure that we're offering something for everyone.
Okay, do you want to add to that?
One of the things I'm most excited about at Bank of New Hampshire Stage is we've taken a step of incorporating a resident theater company into our programming. Presenting theater, non-big Broadway musical theater, is an important part of our mission. It's almost impossible to present in our big space. 1,300 seats is a huge number of seats for a small, intimate, non-musical theatrical presentation. So we are working with Theater Kapow, which is a award-winning regional theater based here in New Hampshire. And this was the first year that they've been our official company in residence. They have one more show coming up the weekend of June 9th, 10th, and 11th called Tiny Beautiful Things, based on the book by Cheryl Strayed. And their work is really top-notch. And we're growing that audience, but there is an audience out there that is, I think, hungry for some really interesting pieces of theater. And so I encourage anybody to check that out if they're looking for something different to see.
Another niche I know that you once employed is using the Capitol Center of the Arts as a venue for weddings or strategic planning, offsite retreats that a business might have. Are those opportunities still exist for businesses out there?
It's funny you mentioned that. We actually just hired an events manager who's taking on that role. So we actually have an events team now. So we're going to be much more proactive with doing rental spaces for all of our spaces, whether it's Bank of New Hampshire Stage, the Kimball House, or the CCA proper.
That's a great opportunity, because now that, you know, businesses are back too, absolutely, we want to go offsite again. So my business friends, 225-1111. Katie, sorry.
And I should mention, if you are one of our corporate sponsors, use of those spaces is included in your partnership deal. So that's another good incentive to sign on with us, because you get to use our spaces for free.
Awesome. All right, J-Dog, take
yes.
it away.
Thank you. Another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio about to wrap up. Fear not, we'll have another one next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. For Sal Prizio, the executive director of Capital Center for the Arts, as well as Katie Collins, director of development at the Capital Center for the Arts, ccanh.com, by the way, the website, and Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I am J-Dog. We will return next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.